This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's
Taz and Moose. Hey. All right, it is Taz and Moose wolfing down some pancakes.
Thank you. It's nice to see. For those that are just joining us, I brought a litany of pancakes in for the crew here. High fiber, whey protein. The boys are eating it.
I might bring some home for Donna.
Pack. You should take a cut. There's obviously enough people aren't eating them enough. I'm here. No, they're sitting around.
Yeah, I know. Well, I heed your advice from last time. Last time I let them sit, it was like cardboard. You got to eat them when they're hot.
What's funny? Somebody
wolf them right down.
Somebody tweeted about this. They said because Mike tweeted out the team that tweeted out the picture of the pancakes. Somebody said, make sure Moose takes off the wrapper this time.
Thank you. That's right. I did do that this time. Thank you very much.
I should have given that guy his name. I should have said his name as shout out.
That's a good job. That is a very, very good job. All right, let's get to it. Kick off this third and final hour. Here you go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose.
Number one. Rockets, Bucks, Celtics shine on Wednesday night.
That's better than the way it normally is. That was great.
We did it in chorus.
I think that was awesome.
Tight. Anyway.
Get off the hamster wheel a little bit. I love it. That's creativity on the fly radio.
Boston.
Live. Love it.
And Milwaukee and Houston. All victorious last night in the NBA playoffs. And they all pretty much did it stylishly. Some a little different than others. I mean, the Boston Celtics at one point in time, I think they had a 16-0 run. You look at the Indiana Pacers, played a much more competitive basketball game, had a two-point lead, basketball in hand with under about a minute to go. Big block by Al Horford. That prompted a 10-0 run down the stretch by the Boston Celtics, and they win their game 99-91, Taz. Then you get to the Milwaukee Bucks, who made a laugher against Detroit, 120-99 final, as did the Houston Rockets against the Utah Jazz. They led that game 39-19. And, you know, at the 39-19 after the first quarter, scored 70 points, 70-44 lead at the half. And that's pretty much all she wrote. As the Rockets have probably been one of the more impressive teams here, where in a series where many people thought maybe the Utah Jazz could give them a little bit of a scare, the Rockets, at least at the Toyota Center so far, basically said, no, not so much.
Yeah, not so much at all. Rockets at home dominated for sure. And you saw Harden just play great. Chris Paul played really good. You know, and then you look on the Jazz side, it's like, you know, you got Donovan Mitchell, who's one of their main young stars, and he gets 11 points, one rebound. I mean, come on. Like, you know, Rubio had probably had the better. He had 17 points, Rubio. So, yeah, man, this is like it kind of seems like there's just all the momentum is leaning heavily towards Harden and those Houston Rockets.
Yeah, right now they are. Let's hear from some of the reaction from last night's game here. Let's hear from the Celtics head coach Brad Stevens on how big Kyrie was last night.
Kyrie was incredible in coming back. And when he gets on a run like that, he's going to draw even more attention than he already draws, which is as much as anybody draws in the league. And so in the last couple minutes of the game, he just made the right play. He got off the ball, he drew two, and other guys made plays.
Yeah, it's dropping in 37 points to the undoing and the demise of the Indiana Pacers. Here's their head coach, Nate McMillan.
We got to do a better job of finishing games and situations like that. You know, execution on both ends of the floor, getting stops defensively, you know, offensively, being clear about what you want to do and what do you need to do in that situation.
You know, I mean, I agree with Coach there. The Pacers, I mean, listen, they, this game, the first two quarters, they were nip and tuck back and forth. And then in the third quarter, the Pacers, they outscored the Celtics 29-16. But then when it matters in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, outscored 31-12.
Oh, my God, 31-12. Pacers, what are you doing?
Pacers!
What are you doing?
Right, they got steamrolled down the stretch. Out to Milwaukee, how about the Bucks? We're using a 35-17 third quarter, 21-point victory over the Detroit Pistons. Here's Giannis Antetokounmpo after the win.
I knew they're going to come out and try to load as much, put guys in the paint, crowd me. But I just try to have patience. And just at the end of the day, sometimes you got to just have will. And I came in the second half. Eric told me, be aggressive, it's going to come. And that's what I try to do.
Yeah, 26 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists for the guy that should be the MVP of the league when that gets officially announced. And we talked about the Rockets' day-like victory over the Utah Jazz. Here's one of their older stars, Taz. Chris Paul saying, well, now's the time to fire on all cylinders.
We still can improve. Hell, I just looked at the thing. I had 6 turnovers. You know what I mean? So we, as good as our defense has been, if we can keep them out of transition and limit our turnovers, you know what I mean, we can be even better. But I like how our defense is growing. You know, we're talking, we're communicating. Clint was amazing.
It was.
You know what I mean? That at the end of that first half, those blocks that he had, you know, back-to-back was huge, because when we get stops and we get out in transition, now we're tough, because how are you going to stop James in transition? Then you got Clint at the rim, and then you got all the shooters out there. So that's when we had our best.
Well, I like his accountability about the turnovers by Paul. I mean, but Harden, who had 32 points, like we said earlier, he had 8 turnovers. I mean, so, but Capella did play great for his rebounds and stuff like that. He played really good.
Yeah, he did. How about Mike D'Antoni, the Rockets head coach, saying, well, he's happy as the bearded one on his team?
He just kind of feels what he's got and what he's got for that night, and if it's going in, he'll do that more often. If not, he'll drive. He just figures out the whatever way. He's a machine. He just scores.
Gimmick. Yeah, he is. 32 points for Harden in the 20-point victory over the Jazz. So there you go. That was your Wednesday night action in the NBA playoffs.
Number 2. NFL schedule released.
Right, 8 o'clock last night. Amazingly enough, 12 hours ago.
Wow.
So the NFL schedules got announced. As we found out, the Sunday nights, for the most part, aside from the flex late in the season, Thursday night schedule, Monday night schedule, how difficult of a schedule start of the year. We went through some of the particulars earlier on in the program, Taz, and check it out, radio.com, Apple Podcasts. But, I mean, you know, some of the more intriguing one, Jets-Browns, Monday night, Odell Beckham Jr. returned to MetLife week number 2. You know, the first Thursday night game, which we knew about, was going to be Packers and Bears, oldest rivalry in the NFL's 100th season. You're going to get the Giants open up against the Cowboys. You're going to get the Patriots entertaining the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first Sunday night game. I mean, those are some of the more intriguing matchups early on in the season.
I think that opening game for the Colts going to the Chargers, I think, will be a good game, too.
That's a good game.
That's a good game right there. I like that. And, so, you know, we talked a lot about this, like you said earlier. I mean,
Rams-Saints, week 2 in Los Angeles.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. I mean, but we talked a lot about how early this is, and like you said, you plugged the podcast, so people go check it out. But the thing is, you know, we talk a lot about the NFL, how they kind of at times can overbrand, where they're pushing things too much. And they made such a big deal that the schedules are out. It's like, okay. It's like, oh, here's the schedule. Okay, great. And you read it, and that's it. I mean, like, they made such a big deal. There's nothing like that's amazing to me, except the fact, not amazing, that it's pretty impressive that for the Browns, that when they got 4 or 5 games in primetime, right? Was it 5 games, 4 games?
Yeah,
four games.
Everyone's expecting them to be a really good team this year, coming off the year in which they went 7-8-1, Taz, and adding Odell Beckham Jr. so far this offseason. We'll see what they do in the NFL draft, too, not having a first-round pick that went the Giants' way, but high expectations for Cleveland, and we both think they're going to be really good and a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, well,
for them.
I don't know if we discussed this earlier, but what team are you looking forward to? Put aside your Redskins and your love for the Patriots.
Go Pats!
What team are you looking forward to watching play the most besides your team? Would it be the Browns? Or
probably would be the Browns.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. I'm with you, dude. I mean,
Browns or Jets? Yeah, Browns would be one. Jets would be 2.
I was going to say Jets because I'm looking forward to seeing Bell run the ball.
Yeah, Bell run the football. I want to see what Darnold is year 2.
Yeah, yeah. Not the Bills.
But you tell me, okay, here's the other thing. You tell me that Arizona drafts Kyler Murray number 1 overall. I'm going to be intrigued to watch Arizona Cardinal football.
Well, yeah.
I want to see what Kyler Murray is.
I am. I would be honest, I would too. But I would be more intrigued by watching this loaded offensive, stud-filled team of the Browns, more than Kyler Murray and the Cardinals.
And you know what I like about the Browns? They're going to be people that are going to root against them. because of the personalities on that team. And that draws me closer to him. Whether you can't, Miami Dolphin fan can't stand Landry, or a Giant fan that couldn't stand Odell Beckham Jr., or Baker Mayfield rubs him the wrong way. I'm kind of drawn into that. It's like kind of like old school Raiders. Now, we're good.
Don't you think it's like current Patriots?
No, no, no. I'm talking about the attitude of the guys.
Oh, the attitude. Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about the personality. I'm talking about the fact of the moxie that these three guys are going to have walking into a building.
Yeah,
you know, similar to when, you know, kind of a vibe and a feel, you know, of what the Raiders used to be. I think that's... I think it's great.
We're badass. We're going to tell you your face. We don't
care. We're going to tell you, and you know this, we're going to tell you how good we are.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do to stop
us. That's right.
And that's going to be fun to watch.
It will be. Yeah, you definitely, look, Baker Mayfield wasn't acting like a rookie at all last year. Just imagine this year. Didn't he blow off, remember, whatever, during the week, during the year, we blew off Hugh Jackson, didn't shake his hand. Remember with the Bengals, when the Browns beat the Bengals? Remember Hugh Jackson was what? And he blew him off. He wouldn't shake his hand. Like, you don't normally see rookies do that.
No, you don't.
And so imagine now with all the confidence he has, Kitchens as the new head coach.
Yep.
Kitchens and Mayfield, the boys. And then you got Beckham. You got Juice. You got, what's the running back out of Georgia?
Chubb.
You know, you got Njoku at the tight end spot. You know, you got all these guys that are great.
Loaded.
And you got Baker, who's just got an attitude already. Oh, Swagger City.
No question about it. All right, number three.
Number three.
Boston, Dallas, and Colorado. Winners from the Stanley Cup playoffs.
They are, as the Stanley Cup playoffs do roll right along, Taz. And we talked about the Lightning getting upset in their opening round matchup, Taz. But, I mean, there's a possibility where you have the top two seeds in each respective conference getting eliminated in the opening round of their series.
I know.
I get anything could happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Taz. But, I mean, does that even hammer home the point even more about how meaningless the regular season is? The Lightning won 62 games of the regular season, got swept. The Calgary Flames, and they're a flawed team. I'm not going to tell you that they're not a flawed team. The Calgary Flames are a flawed hockey team. But you look at where they stood and going into these playoffs, and they're right now down 3-1 to the Colorado Avalanche, a team that was 17 points their junior in the regular season. Isn't that a little startling?
Yeah, it is.
The top two seeds probably. One got eliminated, one in all likelihood, unless something drastically changed in that series, they're going to get eliminated as well.
Yeah, Flames, yeah, I know. I'm surprised. They, you know, yeah, this is, I mean, right now, I mean, probably, I mean, I would say that the more fun matchup to watch is Boston and Toronto. Sure, Preds and Stars too have been fun so far. I mean, they're both tied 2-2 as far as the series. Agenda here. I'm just happy my team already advanced.
No, so I know you're take a breath. Right. The Islanders have got a little bit of time here, but
it's nice. Yeah.
Okay, Calgary out west. They're down 3-1. San Jose is getting their rear end kicked by the Vegas Golden Knights.
That's right.
Nashville Predators. You know, the Nashville Predators are down to the Dallas Stars. You look at the top three seeds out west, all three could be eliminated in the opening round.
Yeah, Sharks definitely are in trouble. That Golden Knights team is cooking right now. They smoked the Sharks the other night, 5-0, man. I watched some of that game. I was like, wow. I mean, they really are. The Golden Knights are playing great right now.
They're playing great.
Sharks are definitely, probably going to get eliminated here. But you're right. I mean, you're right about the regular season. I feel, and I said this to you during the season, off air, I think I said it to you. I feel like sometimes the NHL season, and I'm a hockey fan, I am like you, I feel like sometimes it's too long. You know, it feels too long.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, I'm not saying that because the Lightning, the world got shocked because they got swept by the Blue Jackets. I have no dog in the fight with that. I don't give a rat's ass about the Lightning or the Blue Jackets. But I'm just saying, like, that was a shocking thing. You have the best team in the NHL that got smoked 4-0. And thanks for coming, Lightning. See you down the road. Maybe the season needs to be shortened up a little bit. Maybe it's too long. You know, could be.
It could be.
Penguins, too, are a good team. And the Islanders went and just beat them up. 4-0, just swept them. I mean, Crosby was, like, non-existent. Like, even though he was in the series.
Non-existent.
For the Pens. Nothing.
Non-existent, as was Stamkos for the most part for the Tampa Bay Lightning. One quick side note, Taz.
Oh, I love
for anybody that's looking for a job. Oh, yeah. Meghan Markle, Prince Harry.
I would work for her.
They're looking for an American nanny.
Well, this could be something for me.
They're looking for...
Do I deal directly with Miss Markle?
Well, you're taking care of their child.
Oh. So I got to see the prince, too?
Yeah, you got to see both of them.
Oh.
But they're looking for an American nanny.
Why an American nanny?
Taz, that's the decision they made. I'm not going to get. I'm not going to
tell you the answer, Moose.
No, I don't. I don't know why Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are looking for an American nanny.
Who'd
but
be a better nanny for that kid, Pete the Body or Mikey B?
Biseglia.
Of course, the way he is with Leon the cat, he'd be good with the
close
the prince
close.
Baby.
They're
is
both
the baby nurt- a prince or a
they're both nurturing men.
Pete and Mike are nurturing men.
They're both nurturing men. I think they'd both be very good.
Don't you think the kid would be afraid of Pete's headset because it's so big?
No, I don't think
so.
He would
just cry looking at his bald head and his giant headset.
Right. I think you would probably bother Meghan and Prince Harry with tweets and exploits of your days.
You'd be
like,
me?
Yeah. The kid be crying and be like, listen, I'm watching this fight. Lee Mean just tweeted this at me.
Yeah, this is the whole match from 99.
This is ECW.
It's me and Bam
this
Bam in Asbury Park. Hold on, kid. Stop crying.
This is classic Sabu.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm watching that. I'm scouting this new kid out of Japan. Right. He's really good, man.
The baby's diaper needs to be changed. By the way, you want some protein pancakes? Take the cover off. I had a partner one time that threw that in the microwave, kept the cover on, the syrup inside, and still ate it. Imagine that? I told him not to eat it, but he still ate it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good if I'm sitting there watching a kid, I'm packing a lip, drinking vodka.
No, it's nothing to do with that. It'd be berated by with tweets from way over, reminiscing about your days. And they'd be like, oh my God, it's time to move on from the wrestler.
They would come over.
Right.
It'll come over. Kingsman.
Chef Mike would be like, Taz, remember that time I made chicken fried steak? You'd be like, you made chicken fried steak? When did you do that?
Chef Mike would be like, I can make maybe some baby peas puree for the kid.
Some stale rolls.
Puree.
Yeah,
same thing. You say
tomato. If anyone's looking for a job, Meghan Markle, Prince Harry, they're looking for an American nanny.
Wow. Well.
I don't know where exactly you would send your resume. Send it to Buckingham Palace.
I guess you can send it right there, and then you'll get it returned because it'll be secure. We won't go past the security gimmick.
Didn't The Rock make a movie called The Nanny?
The Rock did, I think. The Jacked Up Nanny, I think it was called.
Did he make it, or was that another former athlete that made it?
No, I think The Rock did.
Did he make a movie?
I could text him right now if you want.
That would be great.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to wake him up. Well, he's probably training. He's always training. He might be training right now.
Is he training with Mark Wahlberg, who gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning in L.A.?
Well, he might be. I know that. By the way, I saw that with Wahlberg talking about that. I don't believe him. You know,
at 7 o'clock at night?
Yeah, I don't even look that good. I mean, put some muscle on, dude, before you act like you're a hot shot.
But not just that. I mean, you're spending quality time with the kids.
Well, he's trying to train. I respect the training, but he's not exactly like... Guy acts like, I get up at 3:30 on that train. Relax.
Well, he's going to sleep at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, no.
Every night?
Oh, that's like me. I'm prepping for work. I mean, you know.
Well, but you have to get up for work. He's getting up at 3:30, you know.
I don't believe it. And by the way, I think it was Robin Williams that was in The Nanny.
Oh, Vin Diesel.
Thank
you, Vin Diesel. It was not
Diesel
The Rock.
Vin Diesel did The Nanny? Not The Rock.
It was called The Pacifier.
The Pacifier, thank you. Yeah, Robin Williams played...
Mrs. Doubtfire?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, he wasn't in this movie. He had a sitter, right? Whoa! What's that?
Whoa!
What is that?
What site are you on? 855-212-4227. That's exactly why you would not be good for that job. You're like, hey, Meghan, what do I call you? Mark, what are you? Look at this, the sitter.
It's like, huh?
Right, like, what?
GTS of people. Movie from 2011. Well, Jonah Hill Jones. He was in
I don't think that movie poster is good for a baby's room.
No, probably not.
No.
Might not be good
it's
for a married man's
Jared,
room.
No, not at all. Jared Greenberg, Whip Around the NBA. We'll do that next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Did you ever get a cloister on your forehead?
No, I don't even. What is that?
This. Look.
Pimple. Okay, I see. Yeah. Okay.
I call them a cloister.
Oh, okay. Why do you call it a cloister?
It's a I knew. Well, I'll read it that. Yeah, it's an expression to work out.
Was the guy's last name Cloyster?
No.
Yeah,
it's about
pimples
like,
on his forehead.
I knew a guy that used to take a lot of performance enhancing drugs.
Oh, okay.
So the thing was, it was called a roid cloister. You get a lot of acne.
Okay.
So like you get it now. So
I see
so it's
saying.
A habit.
Okay.
When I see a pimple, I call it a cloister.
Gotcha.
I have this one on my head, a small one. I'm not on PEDs, but I'm at that stage. Do you pop it? Do you not? That's the thing.
Yeah, I'd probably let it go unless it's really ripe.
Thank you.
All right. You ever go online and look at Dr. Pimple?
No, that's disgusting. Why would I do
you
that?
Watch a guy and he pops pimples.
Nope.
Clears out blackheads.
This is what you do?
No, I've seen it.
Clears out blackheads?
He does.
Really?
Removing oil from your skin.
And people watch this?
Yes.
It probably gets like a ton of views.
Like hundreds of thousands of views.
That's hideous, ridiculous, sad, like and shocking.
You'll see like a big pimple and slow motion popping it.
Come
with
on,
the pus
bro.
Coming out.
I
swear
me?
To you. Yeah. I think it's Dr. Pimple. My wife showed it to me.
Donna watches that stuff?
No, not on the regular. She's seen it. One of her friends watches it. Kind of can't get enough. It's very entertaining.
Now, speaking of cloisters.
All right, take it away.
Look who's here.
It's a wide and dirty.
All right, you guys, sweet. Here's your report, sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. The Pistons gave the Bucks a game for a half last night in Milwaukee.
Bucks are playing 5-on-4. Giannis late to get back into the play. Here's a steal by Bledsoe, and he's got a cherry pick to Giannis. How about that? And the Bucks have a 13-point lead now.
Ted Davis, Bucks Radio. Giannis scored 13 in the third. All of the Pistons scored 17. The Bucks ran away for a 120-99 win, a 2-0 series lead. Giannis finished with 26 points and 12 boards. Blake Griffin was out again for the Pistons because of that knee injury, but he got a tech from the bench for arguing with the officials for the second straight game. Another Rockets blowout, 118-98 over the Jazz. That's two wins now by 52 combined points. And the Celtics taking a 2-0 lead on the Pacers, a 99-91 home win. The Seas scored the last 10 points of that game, 37 total for Kyrie Irving. NFL schedules released last night. One of the quirks, the Raiders will go 7 weeks between games in Oakland. Starting in late September, they have two road games, a trip to London, their bye, and then two more roadies. The Red Sox. Yeah, somebody
That's
else has
a... The Buccaneers.
The Bucs, 6 weeks outside
right.
Tampa.
I'm on top of it.
The Red Sox got the seventh inning last night in the Bronx, in position for a much-needed win. And then this happened.
Man, the right-hander deals.
Swung on, driven to deep right. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a grand slam. Let the Gardy party begin.
Oh,
Brett Gardner plants one in the right field seats. It is a grand salami.
John Sterling, Yankees Radio, comes
Stole
behind grand slam. Yes. Yankees win 5-3.
I guess you're just going to talk
over the Red Sox. Woohoo. I'm done. Back to you.
All right.
See you later.
Thank you. Goodbye. Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard Jared Greenberg. Does a great job. SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA TV. He's going to be on sideline of Game 4 of Raptors Magic as well, working there. Hey, Jared, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Jared, what's up?
Guys, what's going on?
Hanging in there, Jared. How about yourself, all right?
Doing well. I'm covering the most polar opposite climates in the NBA playoffs. You're going from freezing Toronto to steamy Orlando in a couple hours here.
Tremendous. Good life, right? Hey, so listen, man, let me ask you, Jared, do you believe the grown belief, like Moose and I were talking about it earlier, maybe there's a shot here in the NBA that the Warriors are kind of primed to get picked off, man? What's your thoughts?
I don't. I mean, I'm not going to overreact to one game,
right?
For a team that we've seen that you know, can flip this, that has the ability to flip the switch. They're the only team that I would trust that can even operate that switch at this point right now in the NBA. The thing is, listen, as much as you want to say that the Warriors are vulnerable, my question would be, who's the team that's capable of taking advantage of them? And for me, none of those teams in the West are even close to being able to do that. To me, it would be one of the teams in the East, whether it be, Milwaukee, Toronto, Philly, or Boston. I think those teams actually match up better than anybody else in the West. But I just don't know that any one of those teams are ready with how young they are, for the most part, I would say maybe with the exception of Toronto, and how inexperienced they are, I just don't know if there's anybody else out there right now that would be able to take advantage of the Warriors.
What about what about the message early on, and you know what the Rockets are doing against the Jazz, Jared?
No, I think it's great. You know, I'm very surprised by Utah. I mean, all year I thought coming in that Utah would be much better than they were. Surprised by some of the issues they had, especially off the year they had last year. Thought they'd build on that. Here's the best news, I think, for the Rockets, and it's really weird for how you typically think of sports in general, not just the NBA, but typically you want to avoid the champs until as late as possible in the playoffs. I think maybe the best possible news for the Rockets is that they're going to face the Warriors in the second round rather than in the third round of the Western Conference Finals, if only because the Rockets have this history of injuries and flaming out later in the playoffs, the later you go. So, you know, maybe your point, guys, that the fact that the Rockets will face the Warriors in the second round, well, they'll still have some gas in the tank, and maybe their guys won't get injured yet. Because, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it sucks to say, but you're waiting on it, you know? Is Chris Paul going to be able to stay upright? Is James Harden going to have gas in the tank? These are things that you just worry about with the Rockets. And so far through two games, they've looked tremendous. And, you know, maybe this year, the fact that they face the Warriors in the second round will be beneficial rather than seeing them in the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, you listen to Taz and Moose right now. Our special guest is Jared Greenberg. Hey, so, Jared, do you think there'll be any kind of retaliation in any form with the Nets tonight with Embiid and Simmons if they kind of laughed during the Jared Allen flagrant foul apology, that whole bit? You think there'll be any kind of stuff going on with these two teams?
You know, I don't know. I think it's a great thing to watch. You know, it was kind of immature by the Sixers. I think it's interesting that the charm of Joel Embiid is starting to, you know, wear off a little bit. You know, over the last couple of years, he's the guy that everybody laughed at. You know, we loved him trolling guys on his social media account. We loved him and Westbrook getting into it, you know, waving at each other. We love his comments before and after games. And now it kind of seems like it's starting to wear off a little bit where people are, you know, starting to, you know, see some immaturity in him. I would say from the Nets, from their perspective, you know, they don't have much to lose if they do go at him, right? Because if anybody gets ejected from this game or anybody gets a technical foul in this game, you know, and it involves Joel Embiid, well, that's to the advantage of the Nets. So
yeah, sure.
It's one of these psychological things that the Nets are trying to manage here.
You know, when you look at the Boston Celtics, Jared, you know, they clearly had a trouble finding chemistry rhythm in the regular season. You know, Noel Oladipo for Indiana certainly has hurt them offensively in key moments through the first two games of the series, third quarter game one, down the stretch, last 2 minutes in game two. What about this Boston team, and do you think they can find everyone, you know, the way that we looked at them before the start of the year and what they were not, do you think they can find that team here quickly here in the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. I just kind of always believed that Boston would do it. I felt like, you know, from top to bottom, they're the most talented team in the East. You know, you could argue that Philadelphia has a better starting five. You could argue that Kawhi is a better overall player than Kyrie. You could argue that Giannis is a better overall player than Kyrie. I totally understand that. But this is the only team that just last year went this deep and had, you know, kind of its core there. Now, obviously, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward weren't there for it, but I don't know. There's just something about them that I felt like, you know, they didn't take the regular season very seriously for whatever reason. They had all their issues. They had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of guys coming in and out of the starting lineup. I don't know. Maybe I just continue to have this feeling about Boston that they're going to be there when it's all said and done out of the Eastern Conference.
Hey, Jared, so Moose and I were having this discussion earlier, a long discussion on the air, and most pressure on them right now. So who would you say, these three men, these three athletes, Kyrie Irving, right, Embiid, or Giannis? Most pressure on them right now in the postseason.
It's interesting. I think they each have pressure for different reasons. Obviously, Kyrie, because he's trying to prove to the world that, you know, he's worth this max contract.
Right,
which,
right.
Listen, he's going to get no matter what. So I'm going to eliminate Kyrie, because even if he does lose and flame out, even if in this series, let's say, Boston collapses, there's going to be a lot of teams offering Kyrie a max deal. I would say then it comes down to Giannis and Embiid. And for Giannis, if he goes far enough to the play, if Giannis goes to the NBA Finals this year, now the conversation switches in the NBA from who replaces LeBron as the best active player in the league from Kevin Durant to Kevin Durant and Giannis. The only thing that's kept Giannis from this conversation in my mind over the last 6 months, if you do believe that it's not LeBron anymore, is that Giannis has never won a playoff series. So if Giannis can take this team to the NBA Finals, well, now the debate is going to be hot and heavy all summer about who is the best player in the league currently. Is it Giannis or is it Kevin Durant? And then for Embiid, you know, I would go with him as the guy because, you know, for him, let's be very clear about something here. The reason why Elton Brand and the Sixers went all in this year by adding Jimmy Butler and adding Tobias Harris and giving up all that they did to get those guys was because they saw a window of opportunity here where Joel Embiid was upright and healthy and dominant. He's got a severe and long injury history that this team loves him and loves having him on the team, but they don't know how many of these postseason runs he's going to be available to them because of his injury history and his lower leg problems and his lower body problems. So ultimately, they went all in for Embiid here because he was ready to go this year. And now he's dealing with these knee problems because of some things that, you know, probably weren't handled right during the All-Star break. And ultimately, so my answer would be, of the three, while I think it'd be cool to talk about, you know, Giannis in that conversation with LeBron and Kevin Durant, I think now the most pressure is on Embiid.
You know, Jared, out west, you have Golden State coming out, right?
Yeah, of course.
And then, obviously. In the Eastern Conference, you know, of Boston trying to find it, you know, Toronto, I kind of like the Raptors. Taz and I have gone back and forth. I mean, he's leaning a little Milwaukee, certainly after what they did in the course of the regular season, but he is a Sixer fan as well, but he's ruined Philadelphia. but who do you see coming out of the Eastern Conference right now after what we've witnessed here first two games of these respective series?
You know, again, you know, I'm still leaning towards Boston. I don't know why. It's just a gut feeling here. I just feel like the experience that Boston's had in the playoffs is going to be a huge edge in that next round as they take on Milwaukee. And then, you know, I would put Toronto in the mix here, the team that I'm covering up here in Canada. Here's the biggest thing about them is that of each team's best player, who would you trust the most? I would probably take Kawhi, and we saw it the other night with his 37, and doing it, scoring 20 points after he picked up three fouls. Like, this dude... Of all the, and as much as we want to, you know, say the East isn't very good basketball anymore, let's just recognize that the top of the East is pretty darn good, and the best players in the East are among the best players in the league with Giannis, Kyrie, Kawhi, Embiid, all of those guys. I would say of them, the guy I trust the most because of his two-way ability, his takeover dominant ability on offense as well, is Kawhi Leonard.
Well, speaking of Kawhi, that perfect lead to my next question for you, man. So, any reason to believe that Kawhi, with a big run, would stay in Toronto? Because we heard reports that he wants to leave and go to the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I came into this series feeling pretty strongly that unless this team got to the NBA Finals, that Kawhi would be headed to the Clippers. I now have shifted a little bit, being up here and covering the team and talking to a lot of people around the team, where I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. And I don't think it's as easy as us to connect the dots as, well, if they go to this round, then he stays. Or if they do this, he'll stay. Or if they don't accomplish this, he'll leave. I think we really have to learn from the Kevin Durant experience that not every player has the same life goals as you and I do. And not every guy checks the same boxes that you and I do. And I don't know. And that's the thing with Kawhi being so quiet and keeping things to himself. Things don't leak out with him. Is that we don't know if it's about necessarily, you know, the ability to, you know, win a championship next year, or if it's the climate, or if it's where his family is, or how far he is from certain people. You know, we just don't know what it is with Kawhi. But I'll do say this, the more I'm up here, the more I get the feeling that this team, this organization, the Raptors, did such a good job of managing the health situation, which the Spurs did such a terrible job of last year. If nothing else, they just didn't communicate the right way with Kawhi, and the Raptors are going out of their way to set up this infrastructure where there's this constant flow of communication. They're managing his health every single day, and he seems, if nothing else, to be pretty darn happy. So, like I said, I can't get a read on him, but I can tell you that the infrastructure that's been built around him with the Raptors is one that is totally different than the Spurs. And I wouldn't be stunned if he does stay.
Jared, away from the playoffs here for just a second, Lakers, right? Are they as big of a disaster as they appear to be right now?
Yeah. I think maybe we're understating it.
So you think, I mean, for everything we know, it could obviously be, you know, worse to the point. Do you think LeBron's sitting there, you know, and chat with Rich Paul that this was a mistake?
I don't think he's saying it's a mistake that they went there. I think he's saying it's a mistake that for the first time he committed a long-term contract to go to the Lakers. Remember, he was signing those one-year deals with the Cavaliers, and mostly that was for financial reasons, right? Because he was trying to get to the point where he could sign this four-year deal and work the salary cap system where he got max money later down the line, which there's nothing wrong with doing that. But he also, in turn, by doing that, got a situation where, you know, he had him by the you-know-what each and every year because he was threatening to leave.
Right.
I think in L.A., now that he signed this four-year deal, and he does not have a no-trade clause. You are not allowed to have a no-trade clause with LeBron's situation. He's got to be scratching his head a little bit about why he committed 4 years to the Lakers when he could have done the same exact thing that he did in Cleveland and signed these 1 year plus an option year for his time with L.A.
Hey, Jared, you prefer the cold weather in Toronto, steamy in Orlando. What do you prefer?
It's a conundrum, Moose, because the city of Toronto is amazing. This, it's one of the best cities in the world, and I've enjoyed being here for a week.
Are you a Disney guy?
I'm not a Disney guy.
Okay.
So I prefer the warm weather, but I prefer the bar and restaurant scene in Toronto. So nice. I'm a little torn.
Yeah. Hey, Jared, we appreciate the time this morning. Safe travels, all right? Enjoy the series.
Jared. Thank you.
Jared Greenberg, good guy. NBA TV, Sirius XM NBA Radio. Give me a good feel there about so it is as bad, if not worse, out in Los Angeles, Taz, which we've spent a lot of time chatting about. And sometimes, you know, people yell at the media and say, you guys make things out more than it than it really is. And there's Jared basically saying, No, it's that bad.
It is.
And it's probably even worse than we even know.
I know. Well, he brings great insight. And by the way, side note, Toronto. If you ever get a chance.
I've been to Toronto.
Oh, you've been to Toronto. Dude, it's nice.
Great.
Really nice there.
Great. Little Italy in Toronto is fantastic.
I've never been to Little Italy. I heard that.
Yeah, it's
nice.
Great.
I've never been to that part
great,
of
great,
Toronto.
Great, great. Donna's got family. My wife has family up there.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it's such a clean city, man.
Very nice, yeah. Passionate sports fans.
They love
hockey with the Leafs.
Yeah.
Raptors are into it. It's a really, really nice city.
I feel like we talked about this a while back.
Talked about Montreal.
Oh, I've been there.
I've been
there. You've done Toronto.
Did we do Toronto? Mike's all over.
I've been to Montreal, but a lot of snow when I went there.
Well, Lean Mean will be all over.
Everybody's speaking French to me. It's unbelievable.
Lean Mean will send out a tweet about 9. I'll give an over-under.
Here we go. Dude, Lean Mean's your boy.
No. He's brilliant. I'll say over-under 40 minutes. He'll have the date, the time, and the clip. 9:40 a.m. Eastern time, there will be a tweet from Lean Mean.
I'm here to tell you, if he is listening live right now...
Oh, he'll get it done by 9:10.
Well, right, exactly.
You have to start at 9.
Yeah.
It can't be starting now.
If it's not out within... Really, no lie, bro. If it's not out in 15 minutes, that means he's not listening live. Because sometimes he does listen to the podcast version.
Well, it'd be a little tough. I mean, he's going back all that audio, archives.
It's not tough. I don't know how the guy does it.
It's amazing.
I mean, I'm trying to get him together with Pete the Body so he could teach Pete.
That'd be great.
How to do it.
Yeah, Pete wants that on his shoulders.
Pete took a mean shot yesterday at Pete Guest. I listened to the podcast back because I always listen back to the show to make sure you guys are doing the right thing on the air. And I got to tell you, that's something. Right, what a douchey comment. And
like
I got to tell you, you really attacked Pete Guest. Even Moose was appalled by your comment because by saying he didn't win matches and stuff like that. That wasn't right. It wasn't right.
Well, I apologize.
He did say that.
Yeah, it wasn't right at all.
Pete wasn't bothered by that Guest, that is.
Did he text you? He text you on a regular basis. He didn't text you?
Not about that, no. Mm. No. We talk about other things. 855-212-4227. Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, we're talking about drywall.
Stucco?
Stucco. Right, exactly.
Talking like contracting GC work?
Yeah, we got the undercard coming your way next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
A lot going on here.
Yeah, there is.
It's been an amazing show so far. I mean, unbelievable. I'm I got a doctor's appointment set.
Nice.
Chest congestion is at an all new level. I've been drinking hot tea during the breaks, and
you're all set.
I'll drink hot water, probably with sesame seeds in it later, to help get some of the congestion down, and probably get some antibiotics from the doctor.
Hopefully you do. Clear that up. You got Easter this weekend. Today's Holy Thursday, tomorrow Good Friday, Easter on Sunday.
I got a lot of people coming to the house.
Coming over, your wife's cooking. You gotta be healthy.
Last, she said to me, what are you going to do? You're going to be sitting around the house, coughing nonstop?
Thank you, Mike.
You got to smoke cigars. Not be smoking cigars left and right.
No,
and I got the chest thing going on.
Yeah, you
got
to lay low on that.
I'll be smoking with my brother-in-laws and all these, and my nephews. They'll be smoking cigars. They're old, 10, 11 years old. Get them going early. And, smoking cigars. I mean, at Easter, you gotta have a little party, have some lasagna,
Sounds like a party.
Lake Plant Palmas, I'm up-chucking.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Well, feel better, Taz. We're pulling for you.
I don't know. We'll see.
Here's the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Mike. Go get it.
So we've heard about these gender reveals where we find out if it's going to be a boy or a girl with the couple. So this one was unique. Somebody part of the Duke staff had Zion Williamson dunk a mini basketball through a hoop, and it revealed that it was a boy. One, could you pick anything better? And two, imagine if Zion got hurt on the gender reveal dunk.
Hold on a second. I'm a little confused on this. Let's explain. So somebody who works for Duke basketball,
part of the university. Duke, yeah, part of the university, part of the staff.
A gender reveal for their kid, the baby.
Right, and it was Zion dunking a basketball. Once it went through the hoop, it exploded. You had blue smoke for a boy. God.
That's cool.
They got too much time. He should be in class.
How do they know it's going to explode?
I'm sure
it was
once,
gimmicked.
Somehow they knew the ball would go through and get there.
It's gimmicked. Gotcha. That's why.
The ball would pop. Gimmick
the ball
coming out.
Gimmick
that
the
was
ball.
The gender. Hello? That's a great gender reveal.
No, it's not.
How is it not? What, do you rather pop a balloon or cut into a cake? You're having Zion Williamson dunk a basketball. It explodes when it hits the court, and out comes blue smoke for a boy. That's a great gender reveal.
Listen,
that is a task. Give some credit. That is a creative, great gender.
Why do people have to do this whole thing about when they
it's
have babies?
It's fun.
You know what? My wife and I had
fun.
A son. Nobody knew what we were going to have. We didn't tell
it's
anybody.
Fun.
Nobody's
it's
business.
Fun. Well, what are you supposed to do? Just,
gender reveal party, Bob. Let's tell everyone.
Drag your feet
big.
Through life. That's a great gender reveal party. That's a gender reveal idea. That's
why
great.
The youth has this entitlement, because they all born this gender reveal crap. Okay. Hot take.
I think that's fantastic.
Not me. I'm sorry.
Very creative. Wonderful.
All right. Well, enjoy. I say tomato, you say tomato.
Right.
Oh, I get it.
Yes. No.
Next.
This Las Vegas sports bettor, James Holzhauer, is rewriting Jeopardy record books. He earned a single day total $131,000. Is he secretly the Greek?
I'll hand it over to you, Moose.
No. No,
because the Greek is sitting to my left.
Right. Yeah. If he was the Greek, I'd be in Vegas. Yeah. Think about that. He was perfect 40. This was taped, I believe, in March, I believe they said.
You need to hook this guy up. You got to find this guy.
He was 40 for 40. He had 71,000 going into Final Jeopardy. Cool. Bet $60,000.
Oh, my God.
His competitor at 5,400 and 5,000. And he had 71,000 going into Final Jeopardy.
That's unbelievable.
He's a machine.
That's insane.
Taz,
not normal.
Feel better. Good luck at the doctor.
Thank you, buddy. We'll
Mike, Pete, Bogus, great job. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Till tomorrow. Peace. Yep.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.